Blog Talk Radio.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission. For the next hour, we look forward to entertaining you, interacting with you, and interviewing you. For the next hour, we will control all that you see and hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind. Terror Chats, thinking outside of the box. As we spin our way through the universe, traveling to a point in space we last experienced 26,000 years ago. On Earth at that time, animals were the woolly mammoths. The temperature, it was an ice age. There were pockets of life, and the tools were very primitive.
And of course, from the tropical jungles of South America
and the Mayans.
Good evening, I'm Colin Knight, and this is the Night Zone. Tonight, we shall take a look at our diamond we call Earth from a cosmic and solar facet. Those who are interested in prophecy and the end times of Nostradamus will appreciate our special guest tonight. We'll be right back with Dr. Ian O'Neill, live from the United Kingdom.
This is Terror Chat.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
We all have busy lives. And we can't always be at that computer at a special time, place, date, and event. So what do? Well, blogtalkradio.com have come up with the answer. Yes, you can access the archives of your favorite shows and catch up on all of the gossip and what's going on in the world. Blogtalkradio.com bring you some of the best archives you could imagine. So how do you do it? Come to www.blogtalkradio.com. Come to the webpage and pull down the archive browser or the RSS feed. It's as simple as that. Put it on your webpage. Put it on your desktop. One way to stay in touch with Terror Chat, thinking outside of the box, 24 hours a day. It'll show up on your Blog Talk browser. It's as easy as that. BlogTalkRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you could join us tonight on a live primetime special of the Mayan calendar and 2012 predictions. I have a special guest with me tonight, Dr. Ian O'Neill, founder and editor of the AstroEngine.com website. Ian is a solar physicist and founder of the editor of the AstroEngine.com, whose blog covers a whole bunch of areas, including quantum mechanics, solar physics, relative cosmology, space flight, science, and some more bizarre theories that drive our universe, such as the Nostradamus and Mayan prophecies, especially the doomsday events according to Mayan calendar, decodings, and the Planet X. Dr. Ian O'Neill is live from the United Kingdom this morning, or tonight, where it's well into the wee hours of the night or the morning. Good evening, Ian. Welcome to Terror Chat.
Good evening, Colin. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, you're using Skype tonight, so our listeners may experience a little bit of delay. However, we hope to compensate the audio, and we should be able to bring a fairly good quality signal out to our listeners tonight. As I mentioned to you, Ian, when organizing the event, we usually do the news at the top of the hour. but I managed to convince the powers that be to preempt the news, and believe me, no small task up until airtime. I had a number of people whining about the earthquakes in Greece and China and the floods around the world, and we'll discuss those things a little later in the hour when we go to open lines at the bottom of the hour. But whereabouts in the UK are you right now, Ian?
I'm actually located in the southwest of the UK, in a city called Bristol.
In Bristol, England. And what time is it there?
Oh, it's 3 in the morning, so you're going to have to bear with me.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you've got lots of coffee and an easy work day on Monday.
Oh, no, lots of tea and a very late morning. So,
before we get to tonight's topic, Ian, let me say on behalf of TerraChat and its listeners that we appreciate you doing this for us tonight. And we appreciate your website. I've been on it all day, and I must admit it fascinates me, some of the stuff that you have there. And I do invite the listeners, while we're on the air tonight and any other time, step over to the website. Have a look at astroengine.com, and there's a comment area there. Let Ian know you were there. And, you know, I hope our audience doesn't crash your website tonight, Ian, but, hey, you never know. That means we have the traffic, so if we do, we apologize. So, Ian, what exactly is astroengine.com?
Well, it goes back a few years. In fact, my father, back around about the year 2000, he was on the dot-com bubble, and he came up with some, you know, unique ideas to try and buy and sell different domain names. You all remember those times. And this one just kind of just hung around, and I decided to grab it because my dad did nothing with it, and I've turned it into my personal website, and it just sat there for a long time. And then when I started writing for the Universe Today website back at the end of last year, I decided to take my science writing a little bit further and decided to do my own like space physics website, in a way. I mean, there's plenty out there. There's plenty of, you know, space physics blogs around. But I felt that I had something different to offer. And I'm kind of attracted to, you know, pretty extreme physics stuff. So I thought, well, why not? Yeah, I'll put on astroengine.com and see how it goes. And it's growing okay. You know, most of my time is spent writing articles for the universetoday.com, which is a space news website based in Canada. So, that's a big site.
Yeah, it's quite astroengine.com. I must admit, I loved it, and Universe Today, of course. I mean, I go there on a regular basis to get my true stories. You hear all of the blurbs in the news, and I go there to see if there's any reality to it, to be honest with you. So, how did you get from a British solar physicist with nearly a decade of physics study and research to Mayan and Nostradamus prophecies?
Well, as I said, yeah, at the end of last year, I got involved. Well, I contacted Fraser Cain, the editor of the Universe Today, and I didn't really expect a response. I was just trying to find some outlet for my science writing because I was keen to do that.
Right.
And, you know, I've been kind of looking for research positions since then, but I kind of, my enthusiasm really is in space writing. So I thought, okay, well, I can, you know, work on this, do my space writing, work on some public outreach projects, and also try and look for more research funding to continue my solar research. But fortunately, you know, Fraser got back to me, and he was very keen to have me on board, so I just started writing some articles for him. It soon became apparent that I was really drawn to some of the more extreme physics articles. And sometime around last month, Fraser dropped me an email and just said, I've been getting a lot of inquiries about this 2012 Doomsday. Would you be interested in, you know, researching it and perhaps, doing some spin-off articles from that? And I was very keen. And we kind of knew that it would be quite popular, but to be honest, we didn't expect, you know, the response that we did. So we're very, very pleased.
Yeah, you're definitely in the right time and place. The amount of chatter that's going on regarding 2012, Planet X, and all of the cataclysmic events of Nostradamus. We had John Hogue from Hogue Prophecies on a couple of months ago, and I got to tell you, it's amazing. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it's true or if it's false, but it hit home. So, in fact, let me just give you a tag here. This is something regarding I had asked Mr. Hogue about what is the end times.
The Aquarian age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. And I mean scientific in the nature of the root of that word, which means to know. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
So that fascinated me when he said the next generation after 2012 is about knowing yourself, knowing. Would you concur with something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit concerned when I was writing these articles to try and be not necessarily neutral, but to be open-minded, because there's a lot of spiritual and religious reasons why we should believe 2012 is going to be a year of change. Unfortunately, as I found that many of the doomsday myths, if you follow the trail, you'd come to some sort of publication or some DVD that's trying to be sold. And I found that quite distasteful, the fact that people's fear was being used as a way of making some money. I'm not totally close to the idea that something immense is going to happen around this time. I mean, we've seen with the world, the way it's going on at the moment, there's a lot of change. And I think there needs to be some sort of combination of science and spirituality in some level. I mean, religion and science have been separated for so long now, and they don't see eye to eye.
They have been in conflict with each other since the dawn of time. So you wrote an article regarding Planet X. Now, there's been some talk, of course, that this mythical planet is about to come into being, almost from invisibility. It's going to come and affect the Earth. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the Doomsday Theory or the Planet X Theory? I think it's called a Nibiru?
Nibiru. Yeah, the term Nibiru is actually an ancient term, and I believe, I mean, I'm no expert at all on the historical facts, but Nibiru was coined by a researcher who was looking into the Sumerian civilization. They were located around the Middle East, around the Iraq area, back probably, I think it was about 2000 BC, something like that. They had this legend of Nibiru, which was apparently some sort of planet. It's a bit of a grey area, but this researcher discovered this mythical planet, Nibiru, and linked it with some sort of extraterrestrial civilization that was basically providing technology to these early civilizations. I mean, it goes to some way to explain perhaps the pyramids in Egypt or something like this. Some of these incredible structures that we don't understand could be, created by civilizations in those times. But of course, with coming up to modern times, this has now been linked with the Planet X theory. I mean, Planet X was a fairly, innocent search. I mean, it was a search for basically what is now thought to be Pluto. Of course, Pluto was actually too small a mass. It's actually a planet that's too small to be considered Planet X. So after the discovery of Pluto, they thought, oh, okay, this isn't Planet X. We need to keep on searching. And this was back in the middle of the 20th century. And as time has gone on, the search has continued, and there's been some scattered evidence for this Planet X. But as I found, a lot of the doomsday theories, they're not actually based on any real science. I mean, there's a lot of myths, a lot of historical reasons why we should believe there might be a Planet X, but the science just isn't there.
So do you think it's much like the hocus-pocus of religion in some ways, that there's a lot of, you just have to believe. We can't prove it. You just have to believe it.
Yeah, exactly. And I've actually had quite a lot of response on my article, and a lot of people believe that actually Planet X isn't a separate entity. It is a state of being. It is basically the state the world, our planet, is turning into. It's not necessarily, I mean, we've got one side of the argument where they say it's an astronomical object coming hurtling towards us, it's going to cause all sorts of death and destruction. The fears there are just wild beyond your imagination.
Yeah.
But some people are a lot more grounded, and they say, actually, well, this Planet X, it may not exist, but it is a state of being. It's basically the way this planet's going. Because the Planet X has been linked with earthquakes, you know, global warming, famines, wars. And it could culminate in nuclear holocaust, or the sun's going to fry us alive. You know, there's this kind of, you know, split about what Planet X actually is. And I just wanted to address really the astronomical reasons why it isn't there, because there's a lot of publications out there that are throwing this evidence around as if it's gospel, when it isn't really. They're kind of clutching at straws, really.
It's very much like the whisper game, where you start a little story and it goes around 15 people, and when it comes back, it's nothing like the story that started.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Ian, just bear with me here for a few seconds. We have to do a quick break, and to our listeners, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
So what is the Mayan calendar?
Well, the calendar was constructed by an advanced civilization called the Mayans around 250 to 900 A.D., Evidence for the Maya Empire stretches around most parts of the southern states or Mexico and reaches down to the current geological locations of Guatemala, Belize, El Salvador, and some of the Honduras. The people living in Mayan society exhibited very advanced written skills and had an amazing ability when constructing cities and urban planning. The Mayans are probably most famous for their pyramids and other intricate and grand buildings. The people of Maya had a huge impact on Central America's culture, not just within their civilization, but with other indigenous populations in the region. Significant numbers of Mayans still live today, continuing their age-old tradition.
This is Terra Chat.
Across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against them.
Do we have secret powers?
Is there a genetic code waiting to be activated? Is 2012 truly an enlightenment? Are there aliens living on our world?
Is it possible we are a melting pot for the universe?
Join us.
They walk amongst us.
Do we have secret powers?
Does our mind contain ancient genetic code waiting to be tapped?
Are we the creation of our own existence?
Are we our own extraterrestrials?
Join us for the upcoming show.
They walk amongst us.
And as we return to the fold, this is Colin Knight. It's good to be here. We have with us tonight Dr. Ian O'Neill, a solar physicist who's going to help us through the bumps and grinds of the solar system. so we can understand a little better the theories of the 2012 cataclysmic events, or the claimed events. Ian, are you skeptical about the end of civilization according to Mayans and futurists?
Yes. Although I do enjoy good conspiracy theories and all these kind of things, I am a scientist when it comes down to it, and I believe in, if I can't have the scientific evidence in front of me, I'm skeptical from the get-go. I don't fully understand the Mayan prophecy. I mean, I do have a broad knowledge of it, especially after these, you know, discussions, after these articles. And, you know, a lot of the prophecies that have been interpreted appear very, very frightening. And I often catch myself thinking, oh, you know, 2012, you know, it could be it. But then we start thinking, well, where is the evidence? And there's a lot of religious reasons why, you know. I mean, the Bible prophesizes that 2012 is going to be it. The Mayans, their calendar comes to an end in 2012, we don't know really what that means. There's some interpretations that the Earth could come to a fiery end, or we could just reach a different state of enlightenment. And there's other civilizations that seem to point to, you know, a disaster. There's other civilizations that point to, you know, other religious reasons why it's an important date.
Right.
But, you know, as far as astrological reasons why the world's going to come to an end, I'm very skeptical.
Yeah.
I can't really talk too much for the religious side.
Yeah, true. Futurist John J. Harper said, "The new solar cycle, which according to experts is currently underway, indicates that solar activity, sunspots, and solar flares is likely to begin increasing. The activity will reach its peak on or about the year 2012, in agreement with the Mayan calendar and other end-time prophecies." As a solar physicist, do you see any cycle in the sun that would cause solar flares in and around about this time?
Well, but every 11 years you have the solar cycle, and basically the sun goes from a very relaxed state, as it is now actually, it's a very, very calm sun. And throughout that 11-year cycle, the magnetic field becomes more and more stressed as time goes on. And the reason for that is that the equator of the sun spins faster than the poles. So if you can imagine a magnetic field as a field of strings of elastic, the elastic basically gets wrapped around the body of the sun. And at the moment, it's in an unstressed state. So basically, the magnetic field lines run straight from north to south. In the next few years, we'll see these magnetic field lines gradually getting wound up. And it will reach a point, a solar maximum, the predictions are saying it can happen any time, really, from 2010 to 2013, around that time. But remember, this is an 11-year cycle, so the likelihood of 2012 hitting the roundabout solar maximum is pretty high. I think that's, you know, a coincidence in itself. As for the frequency of flares, I mean, the solar flares get kicked out during times of high magnetic field stress, and so that's when you hit a period of time called solar maximum. And
right.
And what happens then, you get this magnetic stressing, these magnetic field lines cross and snap together, and when this happens, you get energization of particles, which generates X-rays, you get coronal mass ejections. I mean, it can be a violent time, as we found in 2002, 2003, and we had these large, you know, historic flares being fired
right.
out to the sun.
And there has been some concern that that there would be some gamma radiation that hits the Earth around about 2012. Could it be strong enough that it could absolutely affect 2013, say?
Gamma radiation is too high energy, really, to come from the sun. Really, we're looking at, you know, X-ray radiation. Around about the time of, it could happen. I mean, the forecast is saying that, you know, as I say, it can happen anything from 2010 to 2012, around that period. We may well get hit by a solar flare. I mean, remember, the sun is fine, can fire solar flares and, you know, anywhere into space. We would be quite unlucky to get hit by one, but it happens. You know, we do get hit by solar flares. Whether they're going to be historic solar flares, there's indications that perhaps this solar cycle might be more active than the previous one. But, you know, I mean, all the predictions are there, and we're trying to put together forecasting technology that we can actually predict when these flares are going to be fired into space or directly at us.
Right.
And we're getting more and more prepared for it. I mean, for science that's studying our nearest star, it's an extremely complex system.
I wish that I could explain or understand or have somebody be able to give me the definitive answer that how the heck did the Mayans know that we would align with the Milky Way's galactic center in 2012? It's a 26,000-year cycle. I just cannot get my head around their ability to time stamp, if you will, what happens in our universe. It fascinates me.
Yeah, I mean, the galactic alignment argument, I've been reading some, this is one of the articles I would like to write as well in the series, but all indications are that some scientists believe it happened back in early 2000, if not 1999, I think. So it's already passed. But then again, a lot of people would say we're still traveling through this alignment, if you like. So, you know, anything can happen. This is a long period of stuff going on. I'm not too certain about that argument. As for the Mayans, I mean, they have an incredible system, and they were incredible astronomers. And there's evidence to suggest that they plotted the orbit of Venus, you know, a planetary body, not just the stars. They actually, you know, mapped this thing, and they were able to get to its position in the night sky. I mean, they were certainly an advanced race, and their calendar system as well was incredible.
And especially every spring equinox in Chichen Itza, the shadows that form on the thousands of year old temple down there. Apparently, the shadow at that point in time ripples down from the top to the bottom down the stairs like a snake, and as it enters what would appear to be the ground, it literally hits the head of the snake, which is at the base of the stairs of this temple. And apparently, it's been doing this consistently without myths, without mass. And how would they have that knowledge? That is something that is just so beyond my comprehension, Ian. And as a scientist, I'm sure it must frustrate you when you hear these stories with no basis of fact, and yet you see these mathematically calculated instances that just defy logic.
Yeah, it makes me want to be an archaeologist, to be honest, because physics and science in general is very, you know, we're governed by rules and laws, natural laws. But it's as we understand the universe right at this moment. I mean, there's a lot we don't understand, and
right.
I'd like to think there is some, you know, advanced form of science behind their predictions. I just don't know, really. I mean, at the moment, I'm kind of thinking perhaps it's just a coincidence. I mean, I'm sure that they were an extremely advanced race for their time. They're very good with numerics. They were fantastic with astronomy. They had a very, very good understanding of the natural world. So, you know, in some ways it's frustrating because we don't understand it. But it's also very exciting. But
yeah.
it's these doomsday scenarios that kind of overshadow this incredible undercurrent of, you know, fascination with the Mayan race, not just the Mayans, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Sumerians, all these incredible civilizations.
With incredible technology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Technology. I mean,
Ian, I can't believe we're there already. We're at the bottom of the hour. I do have to take another quick break here. We'll boogie along, and we'll be opening up the lines here right after the break. So just bear with us, people.
Wonderful.
In the dead of night, when my winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be? As he sits by the castle fire, the dark night comes to light up to the blades, and as the wind howls about the castle walls, the fire crackles in the damp spring night. On your desk by the fire, your communication to the spirit world, the world where all things are warm, calm, cool, and collected, where you reign supreme. As you stand by the castle's fire, the wind howling about your domain, who will you be tonight?
Join me when we look at the deep, dark, lurking spaces known as Internet Chat. We'll be taking you to some of the nefarious regions of chat and looking at the psychological profile of many of those who lurk in the Internet world of chat.
Things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments where you know some night? Things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments where you know someone is there? Have you ever had those times where you think you see a flash of a person or a shadow? We delve into the inner sanctum of paranormal activities. Paranormal at its best with some of the brightest and the best investigators in North America. Come with us on a journey, possibly an enlightenment.
Coming soon. Watch for the listings.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Terror Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box. I am Colin Knight, your host for the next 27 minutes. I have with me tonight from the United Kingdom, Dr. Ian O'Neill. He is the founding editor of AstroEngine.com. If you get the chance, go to his site, have a look around. We're discussing the Mayan calendar and the prophecies and the dooms and glooms of 2012. Welcome back, Ian. It's good to have you with me tonight.
Great to be here.
So, Ian, as we were talking about the universal codes and the Mayan calendar and how they had their ability to do what they did, I was reading up on the Mayans because, of course, I wanted to have all of my ducks in a row for tonight. And I got to tell you, some of the buildings they built with no visible signs of tooling. I mean, some of these blocks of concrete, this rock, are 50, 60 tons. It's absolutely amazing how they accomplished what they did with as little engineering as supposedly they had.
Yeah, well, certainly incredible. This is why I really want to become an archaeologist, really, to try and understand how they do this. This is mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. So tell me, Ian, what of Solar Flare 24? I've heard that this is the big one. This is the one that's going to do the job. Is there any truth to that you know of?
Well, as I said, There is an indication that this solar cycle might be more energetic than the previous one. But I say might. I mean, we don't really know this for sure, and we're not really going to know for the next couple of years. As for, I've seen it written many times about this killer solar flare, and by killer I mean it's going to wipe out the entire planet or cause some severe damage and death and destruction and all this. I mean, if the sun did fire a large solar flare, it was perhaps of the scale that we saw in 2003 when we had some large X-ray solar flares being emitted from the surface of the sun. And if one did hit us, I mean, the biggest problem will be whoever who is in space or whatever is in space at that time, such as orbiting satellites. We can expect, I mean, it's happened many times in the past where they get hit by energetic particles.
Right.
It can overload their system. They can shut down.
I remember radio and the airwaves around about that time when that last batch of flares hit us good. And TV stations knocked out, satellites down, communications sure. disrupted. It was a mess. CB radios, the Citizens Band radios and ham radios were the most affected, and apparently they have never recovered.
Yeah, there's when you get a solar flare, you get a lot of X-rays fired at the upper atmosphere of the Earth, called the ionosphere. And of course, the ionosphere is critical to ham radio operators, shortwave radio, because that's what you bounce your signal off. So if you have any, change in the electron content of the ionosphere, you're going to cause some serious communication problems. So right. you do have the, because when the X-rays hit the ionosphere, it generates high energy electrons. Not only that, after the X-rays have struck, there could be a possibility of a coronal mass ejection, which is basically a space bubble of magnetic field lines with tied-in plasma from the sun, and it's right. highly energetic atmosphere. So as it's coming to the Earth, it may interact with the Earth's own magnetic field. That magnetic field is the protective layer, the force field that protects us from right. the worst the sun can throw at us. But if one of these big flares and big CMEs do hit us, the CME will interact with the magnetosphere, and it may reconnect with it. So in which case, the particles contained within the coronal mass ejection will be injected into our magnetosphere, and it will be fed into the Van Allen belts, the very radioactive environments,
right.
quite in low Earth orbit. So you're going to have a very, very radioactive zone there. You'll also get very impressive auroras, the northern lights, and you get the aurora borealis in the northern, and the aurora australis in the southern hemisphere. And the more intense the storm, you get bigger storms, obviously bigger light shows. I mean, it's an incredible sight. And as if the storm is a huge one, you may get aurora all the way down to the equator. I mean, there's been reports back in the 60s, the late 1950s, there was a massive solar storm, and aurora was actually observed above Mexico. So, it's just an incredible light show. And this has a knock-on effect. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
When these highly energetic particles hit the atmosphere, they basically produce an electric current through the atmosphere, and that can cause problems down here on the ground, because that produces a magnetic field, and it can overload power grids. I mean, back in 1989, the Quebec power grid got knocked out for a few hours because they weren't prepared for this surge of current. And of course, you've got problems with the satellites, and especially in this day and age, we're so reliant on these sensitive satellites that if they get knocked out of the sky, GPS communications, it can all be pretty screwy. So
right.
that is a worry. I mean, that is a concern. There is evidence for that.
There is evidence, yeah. And so again, what fascinates me is the fact that the Mayans, especially Nostradamus, not so much, but the Mayans especially, hit it right on the head as far as timing is concerned, which is
again, it just blows my mind how they did it. I tell you what, I've dominated your time, so I'm going to open up the phone lines and see if anybody's out there that wants to have any questions answered. 347-324-3287 is the call-in line for the next 20 minutes. 347-324-3287. It amazes me how Venus figures so prominently in the Mayan calendar, too. I looked at how to calculate the Mayan calendar and the wheels and the different levels and days and predictions, and I got to tell you, my head hurt trying to figure out how some poor Mayan sat in some little hut somewhere and worked out where he was in this point in time.
Yeah, no, it was incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, it is so complicated, yet it is so simple when you grasp the overall concept of it. Ian, in one of your articles regarding the Mayan doomsday scenario, you said, the Mayan prophecy is wholly based on the assumption that something bad is going to happen when the Mayan long count calendar runs out.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see for 2012? As a scientist, what do you see? Is there anything out there that has a beacon signal to you?
No. I mean, the problem with this Mayan prophecy, if you like, the problem with that is it seems that every doomsday scenario possible has been thrown at this one date. I mean, there is strong, you know, historical and, you know, ancient evidence that predicts something happening around this time. As for anything that really stands out, I mean, as apart from the sun's solar maximum, perhaps that might cause some problems, but not to the effect that are being predicted. I mean, I've heard some really, really strong views about, you know, this killer solar flare is going to rip away our atmosphere and destroy us, and also that there's going to be a polar magnetic shift on the Earth at the same time, or, you know, they might be interrelated in some way. Perhaps this, you know, solar maximum is going to influence the global magnetic field, leaving us, you know, open for the attack from the sun. There's no real evidence. I mean, yeah, there probably is going to be a polar shift sometime in the future, but to say it's going to happen actually on the same date as an Earth killer solar flare just seems incredible to me.
Right.
I just don't see that evidence.
I have a question from our virtual studio. The question is it possible that disease simply wiped out those who were trained to calculate the calendar, and that is why it ended in 2012?
Disease?
Yeah, is it possible that the people that had the experience of creating the calendar into perpetuity just basically died out and took their secret with them?
Possibly. I believe there are quite a few Mayan ancestors, Mayan people still living in the Mayan areas, and they still live very strongly by their calendars. And I don't know what their belief still is, whether they believe these ancient teachings stand true. I don't know if they hold these secrets themselves. But
I've always had the belief that the Mayan calendar was perpetual. When it came to an end, you simply went back to the beginning of the calendar and started again. Would that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We just don't really know. I mean, the evidence is sketchy for this. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, with every calendar that we know of, we actually work by, it's a cyclical system, you know, one year ends, the next one starts, and it's pretty much just going to go on forever because we don't set it out in a religious belief or in a mythical way. We just believe in numbers, and it just keeps on going up and up and up. Whereas the Mayans, they had a belief and a spirit for each day. They had smaller calendars that were operated over shorter times. Eventually, it kind of builds up to the long count calendar, which is where all this, you know, the 2012 stuff is coming from, because it is actually the long count calendar that's running out. But there's a lot of other smaller cycles within that calendar that are very interesting, and there's a lot of archaeologists believe that they actually predicted some smaller cyclical events within that period of time. But this is really the big one. You know, what happens when the big calendar ends? I just don't know, and I'd be very interested to see what the leftover Mayan people actually do believe in, whether they actually carry this belief system through all these many hundreds of years.
Talking about speed and time, I can't believe we're moving as fast as we are in this hour. We are at the 15-minute mark. I do have to take another quick break. Hold on to the bus. We'll be right back.
All information provided in the TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements.
We all have busy lives. We can't always. We all have busy lives, and in such, we can't always be at a computer at a set time and date to listen to our favorite Blog Talk Radio show. So Blog Talk Radio has developed a method where you can listen to your favorite show right from your armchair or your desk. You could even listen archive or live. So how do you do it? Well, it's pretty easy. Come to www.blogtalkradio.com. Choose your favorite show. Hopefully it's TerraChat. Enter the specific station page and sign up for RSS feed. Or add the various players to your website or blog. Or put the player right on your desktop. It's as easy as that. Once you have the player, your favorite show is just a click away. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colin Mack.
And we are back, moving into the final 10 minutes of the show. My guest, Ian O'Neill, Dr. Ian O'Neill. He's a solar physicist joining us tonight. I got so many questions out on the virtual studio, Ian. I'm not going to be able to get to them all, but let's see if we can hit a technical one here. And I don't want to get too heavy, but OSM reports that the flare from January 2005 that sent protons at one-third the speed of light, what would happen had they been traveling at the speed of light in relation to anything traveling light speed having infinite mass? Oh my God, my head hurts. You got an answer to that one, Ian?
Well, that's going to the realms of, you know, Einstein. Traveling at the speed of light isn't possible if something has mass. I'm not entirely sure what will happen if something could travel the speed of light if it had mass. I mean, we know that photons travel at the speed of light, but things like protons, electrons, they can travel, you know, fast. They can travel quite a large percentage of the speed of light, and the sun can accelerate these particles to high velocities. But as for, you know, anything going at the speed of light, I'm not entirely sure that's quite a thesis itself.
I can relate to that. I couldn't even get my head around the question. I was still working on one-third the speed of light.
Quite impressive still.
Unfortunately, science is not my strong point, and that's why I'm sat here like a little kid, soaking up the information as much as I can take it. And we are 10 minutes to the top of the hour. I cannot believe this hour is going as fast as it is. Another question out of the virtual studio, Ian. What's your thoughts on polar shifts and time frames? Does it have any bearing on Planet X or the new understanding of life we're supposed to get in 2012?
The polar shift, the magnetic polar shift of the Earth, there is quite a lot of evidence and support that the magnetic field of the Earth is changing, and it does change throughout the Earth's history, and periodically it actually swaps polarities. So what was the North Pole will suddenly become the South Pole. we know this has happened in the past by analyzing sediments and rocks from paleomagnetic studies. And we don't know, it does happen. And apparently we're overdue for a massive polar shift. But as I say, as it's happening around about 2012, is going to be a bit, that's a bit enthusiastic for a forecast on polar shift. It's going to happen, without a doubt, but I just hope it's not going to happen while we're around, because it is going to cause quite a lot of, we just don't know what kind of devastation that could cause. Whether it's going to be a quiet shifting of the poles, I doubt it. If you've got the magnetic field changing, we will be more susceptible to the sun's influence, without a doubt.
Right. Now, you mentioned in your articles about this surge of fantasy stories coming out of Hollywood regarding the Mayan legends and what have you. You spoke briefly about the 13 crystal skulls. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that, how that all came about?
I was getting excited to go and watch the new Indiana Jones movie, and I found that they were talking, it was getting, the crystal skulls. And I was interested to see what the relation this had with the whole doomsday scenario.
Right.
And apparently there is a Mayan myth that there are 13 crystal skulls scattered somewhere, and if you bring them all together in the year 2012, or whenever doomsday is expected to happen, I don't know if they actually, said 2012, but around a period of great reckoning for a human race. If you bring those skulls together, we will experience enlightenment, or we'll be able to save the planet, or it may open up some wormhole to another dimension, or it could be the next coming of an alien race. They may come and rescue us. And without giving too much away with the Indiana Jones movie, they did kind of touch on this, although not brilliantly, but
there does exist, as far as we are aware, a number of crystal skulls that have been attributed to the Mayan civilization. Am I correct?
I don't know.
My understanding is there are a number of skulls that have been retrieved. Now, whether there are 13 of them, I have no idea.
No.
The Mayan calendar system, from what I can determine from your writings and from borrowing from other people's, is that the Mayans actually further developed the calendar based on a previous society system, the Olmecs. What do we know about them?
I'm not too sure. There are quite a few ancient races in South America, and the Aztecs come somewhere in this as well. And I think the Mayan calendar, the Longhand calendar, is one of the first examples of a numerical system. I'm not entirely sure where they developed this from, because up until that point, they had calendar systems purely based on their belief system rather than numerics, whereas the Longhand calendar is kind of departs away from this belief system of calendars, and it was actually based on numerical system. And it's quite complicated. It takes some time to actually work out what's going on. And of course, they've got many different there are different form of writing. They've got glyphs that they counted by. I think it was one of the first well-ordered calendars that could be found in ancient South America, but I don't know where it came from.
Right. It's amazing how the information comes together. They had very many stories about a godlike figure who was tall, blonde, with an elongated skull. And, they called him Kukulkan, I believe. They even talk about him leaving in a submarine type of craft, vowing someday to return. I mean, these are very openly spelled out, apparently, in the cryptographs and the hieroglyphics that they left behind. They talk about the Sun Kassa, the bearded ones. How pure do you think the stories are, Ian? How pure in comparison to our history, as you know, is written by the victor, not the victim. So how pure do you think their history is?
I believe most of our understanding from the Mayans comes from modern archaeological digs. I mean, the Mayan civilization was discovered, can't remember my history now, but fairly recent in, you know, historical times. So we pretty much interpreted their writings from their glyphs, from their ancient scriptures. As for purity, I don't know. I don't know. It depends very much on who discovered it and who communicated it to the world, and their interpretations of their numerical system and their language and their architecture. There's certainly a lot of evidence there, and if we're learning direct from those ancient sites, I suppose it's as pure as it can get, really. But it depends on, you know, who discovered it, you know, whether it was a conquest or whether, you know, a lot of this information is actually passed down through the generations, and whether the descendants of the Mayan culture still have this knowledge. I'm not too sure.
Again, I'm trying to take you out of the scientist and into the archaeologist.
I appreciate it.
because I love to expand the knowledge of people, and for those people that are just coming up to speed on the Mayan calendar and the cataclysmic events of 2012, it can be a daunting task to try and sort the chaff from the wheat.
Oh, absolutely.
Just hold up a second. We'll be right back. You are listening to Terra Chat. My name is Colin Knight. As we head into the final 3 minutes of the show, I cannot believe that we are boogieing through the time frames the way we are. Hang in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The final 2 minutes of the show. You have been listening to the Mayan calendar, the doom and gloom that they are forecasting ahead. Dr. Ian O'Neill has been helping us through the truths and the myths of the Mayans. It's absolutely fascinating. Ian, tell me about the Earth's wobble and the global ice ages. My understanding is 26,000 years ago, Earth was in a global ice age.
I'm not too sure. That's not really something I've really studied very much. You got me.
I got you.
You got me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, that's one out of an hour. That's not bad at all. So being able to pretty well hit home here. Ian, I've been looking at your astroengine.com. It's an absolute fabulous website. I invite everybody to check the website out and follow the links that he has given. With the final 2 minutes of the show, Ian, what's on your plate? What's your next coming articles?
I've got a load of articles, you know, the general space news for the universetoday.com website. Still working on that. As for the 2012 articles, my next one is going to be specifically on killer solar flares and actually investigating the physics behind that. It's going to be a different article because it's not one that you can really debunk, whereas the Planet X one, I was pretty convinced that I wasn't happy with that theory at all.
Right.
And there's holes in it left, right, and center. So a bad news day for the doomsdayers.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, go to astroengine.com, follow the links, go to the Planet X story. It is absolutely brilliant. Ian, we're into the final minute. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir. I hope to have you back real soon. My understanding you're on one of our affiliate stations up on Blog Talk next week with 50 seconds remaining. Can you give me a quick blurb on that?
It's the Paranormal Radio Station. On Tuesday, actually, this week, I'm going to be pretty much giving a rundown about these articles I've been doing, pretty much what I've been talking to you to today with. So you got enough.
Fabulous. Absolutely great. Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for your time. You take care of yourself, and we shall talk to you at another time. I will invite you back. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's all. Another edition of Terra Chat's Thinking Outside of the Box, the Mayan calendar. We'll catch you next week with a live edition of the Night Zone. In the meantime, in between time, that's it. That's all. God bless.